You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He has on the first base side of the rubber. Rests the glove on his left thigh. Looks into Alvarez. He has still staring in. Comes set. The 1-2 pitch. Swung out and missed strike three. Put it in the books. And to the New York Mets, California, here we come.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 303. McMonagle here with you on this Tuesday morning. McMonagle here with you on this Tuesday morning. Back to back and a belly to belly. As the New York Knicks take down the Boston Celtics 108-105 in overtime for an absolute Knick classic. I mean, this is, me and Marco were just talking about it. I want to enjoy it. Like, we were talking, he heard the call about the spread and next game. I just want to enjoy this one for a minute. Let's enjoy this one for a minute, because I don't think there's any misconceptions from any Knick fan other than maybe, Tommy. There's no misconceptions from any Knick fan. Like, this is still a very difficult series to win. I don't know what the rest of this series will present. I do think now it's a series. I do think the Knicks made a statement. I do think the Knicks will get at least another one. I think they're going to have an opportunity at the very least, would be my guess. My guess is that the Knicks are going to have an opportunity to be playing Game 6 at home for the right to play a Game 7. I think that's hopefully that's at worst what we're looking at. I think they're going to find a way to get to another one, and let's play a Game 6. Let's go. Let's get back to the Garden for Game 6. And see where it takes them, and maybe that would be with an opportunity to win the series. That would be amazing. But I do think they made a statement. I do think we're looking at a series. But I don't want to. I want to focus on tonight. I want to focus on the idea that this Knick team just won one of the more memorable, fun games in the million different plays. Whether it's what's a play I haven't mentioned yet? The Karl Anthony Towns foul, right? That we thought for half a second Reggie Miller scared the hell out of me. When he said that's a bad foul, I thought that was a three-pointer. But, I mean, that foul, the inbound, just all the plays. And let's hear a couple of them. We got seven lined up. I don't know what seven. We're just going to play them. Oh, I just added the cat foul. We're going to get eight now. But let's hear it again. Let's relive it for a moment as the Knicks take down the Celtics and really, let's be honest, deserve to win the game. We're the better team in this game for most of it other than, you know, maybe a little bit of the first quarter and clearly all of the second quarter, but the second half and into overtime, the Knicks were clearly the better team. The Knicks deserved to win this game. And now we have a series on our hands that, again, nobody thought they could win. Suddenly we feel a lot different one game in. That's what I said. I said that's why game one was so important. I actually heard, and I'm leaving Fleegs with his finger over the button. I know it's annoying. I've been there. I was walking out yesterday and going to the bathroom, I heard Al saying, that I think he heard me say game one is the most important game of the series, and he doesn't understand how I could think that. He completely disagrees. And I get it. It's game one, right? I thought this was so important to make a statement. It was so important to make sure this game wasn't going to go the way it looked like it was going in the second quarter. It was important to come out, make a statement, because suddenly, as we've seen now in three of the four series in this NBA playoffs, the underdog takes game one. And now suddenly you feel a lot different about the Pacers' chance against Cleveland. You feel a hell of a lot different about Denver's chance against OKC, and you certainly feel a hell of a lot different about your chances of your New York Knicks taking down the Celtics. And that's why game one is so important. Go into that building, make a statement, put a little bit of fear into the Celtics, and make us feel like this is a series. So let's hear some of the highlights from last night's rousing victory over the Boston Celtics. Let's go.
They're on the floor, grappling with it. Hart yanked it away. Hart hurt his hand. And Brunson the other way with a three. Bullseye. Got it.
Here they come. Led by Mr. Clutch himself, Jalen Brunson. We've got this down to eight, and this is all being done with Karl Anthony Towns on the bench.
Yeah, it was all being done with Karl Anthony Towns on the bench. I mean, for a long stretch, he ends up redeeming himself a little bit because he makes a decent defensive play, or a pretty good defensive play late in the game, and obviously that putback. He got the rebound earlier in the fourth quarter, and it was mostly Josh Hart with the effort that it ended up just falling into Karl Anthony Towns' hands, and he put it back in, and then he got a huge tip in overtime. So he ends up, you know, he's feeling a little bit better about his performance, but ultimately there was a stretch where he was the reason. His lack of ability to finish and, you know, having the offense run through him was when they started to lose, when the Celtics started to gain their lead. And then, yeah, they started to come back in the third quarter with OG and Brunson without Karl Anthony Towns on the floor. So that cuts the lead down to eight from where it once was 20. What do we got next?
Tatum with 19 and 14. Knocked away, a steal by the Knicks. Ananobi will take it in and hammer it home. Ties the game at 86. What a comeback by New York. Down by 20. They've come back to tie.
OG Anunoby with the steal and then slams it home. I mean, we saw it a bunch in the Pistons series, and then we even saw it from Mikal Bridges earlier in this game. When you have guys chasing you, you can't just lay it up. You got to bring it home. And OG Anunoby gets a step off the steal, slams it home, tie game. And really, it's apropos that he's the one who ties the game because he was really, his threes and his ability to get to the basket, his third quarter was as important. He was as important a figure in this game, and that third quarter felt like it was all OG Anunoby. So apropos that he's the one who slams it home to tie the game. So now we're tied. Surely the Celtics won't allow this thing to actually be lost, will they? Where we go from here?
Great offensive player with the ball and a fantastic defender in Holiday.
Now the switch. Brunson a three. Got another one. First New York lead since early in the second.
You know, I don't love Reggie Miller on the broadcast. I got to be honest. I don't think he's a great broadcaster. He does have there is a feel of big game just because I hear his voice. I know who he is. And it takes me back to a time in my life of Knicks Pacers that I'll treasure forever, those series. So I do like hearing his voice, but I don't think he's that good a broadcaster. But I have to admit, as they're going on the run, it is cool that it's Reggie Miller. I don't know. Maybe I'm just because Reggie Miller, I associate Reggie Miller with good NBA. Good. I know he beat the Knicks sometimes. He also lost to the Knicks, but just Reggie Miller's voice reminds me of better times. And the idea that the Knicks are going on this run and Reggie Miller is praising them and he's flabbergasted at the shots that Brunson's making, it makes you feel all warm and fuzzy. But yeah, this was that stretch of like three out of four straight possessions where Brunson hits these step back threes with a guy in his face. It was incredible. All right, so that's another Brunson three. What else do we got?
Three and a half to play in regulation with the Knicks by three after trailing by 20.
And he can also draw a foul.
That's a three. Got another one. He is a machine. Brunson cans a three. The lead is six for New York.
Yep, the lead is six. Brunson with another three. I mean, and when you listen now, it's unfortunate that the Celtics were able to tie the game, but yeah, that was the stretch where you just you couldn't believe what you were watching. Like, what was this? I could not believe what was going on. Where do we go from there?
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Play everything. Why not?
Handoff here. Towns, Brunson up for the lead.
Oh, man.
Timeout, Boston. Timeout, Boston. With time on the clock, but how much?
He could not have asked, if you're Jalen Brunson, for a better look.
Yeah, I mean, I want to give credit to Tibbs. I have killed Tibbs all year. Not just as we have this major conversation about whether or not he's the coach to take them over. I've complained all year about the ineffectiveness of side out of bounds plays. That was a really good one. I was concerned about the amount of time on the clock. It was like 5 point something, so it's got 5 seconds left. And, I mean, we've seen the guy who's going to take the shot inbound the ball all the time. I just think he didn't on the initial inbound. Why am I forgetting? They didn't call a timeout. What happened? The Celtics had a foul to give, right? So the initial inbound, I believe, was Bridges inbounded the ball. The Celtics get the foul to give. They take it, and then they have Brunson inbound the ball. It's almost as if they suspected it and wanted to give him a different look. So, I mean, I got to give Tibbs credit. Tibbs understood they were going to use the foul to give, gave them a different look than the same play because he knew it wasn't going to be actually allowed to happen. So he has a dummy play called. They get the foul to give. Then he runs the play he wants to run, and he gets a give and go with Towns, who executes it perfectly, and they get as good a look as you could possibly want from Brunson at the end of the game. It just doesn't go home. But I got to give Tibbs credit, because I've been on him specifically about side out of bounds plays and that whole process. Understanding they're going to give the foul, so he has a dummy play called. Then he goes to Brunson. He runs, when I'm nervous about the amount of time on the clock with only 5 seconds left, that you'll be able to get the ball back to him in a position to shoot. Because, you know, if you can't, how many times do we see it? They can't get what they want. Someone's got to go all the way back across court, or someone's got to go, you know, all the way to the other baseline or on the other side of the half court line. Like, I'm just not confident you're going to have time to get it back to Brunson with 5 seconds and have an opportunity to get a good look. But they draw up a perfect, you know, kind of a backdoor cut. It works perfectly. I thought it was in. It just rims off, and we head to overtime. And this is where, like, for me, I'm nervous. That shot doesn't go in. I remember they cut to Brunson, and he's giggling. And I understood why. He just missed the shot. And I'm thinking to myself, man, oh, man, that's it. If they're not going to do it now, they're going to go to overtime. The better team typically wins in overtime, and the Celtics will probably hit a shot or two. How many are they going to miss? I am nervous as hell about overtime. And instead, we get what we're about to hear now. What else we got?
Holiday is all over Brunson. Horford will watch hard. 2.5 in overtime. It goes to Ananobi. Tatum is there. In the corner, Bridges, 3. Bullseye! Yep. It's a 6-point New York lead in overtime.
Yep, that's a huge 3. I believe that's after they don't have the rebound to OG and one on the dunk, but yeah, that's the possession before. So it's he gets the rebound out of bounds, makes the play, saves it. OG goes down and dunks it, and the one puts them up 3. They get a stop, or if you guessed it, a missed 3-pointer would be my guess. And then Bridges hits that shot in a 3. And now I've seen someone on Twitter trying to tell me that that Bridges shot is actually off the backboard. I can't imagine that, but like you can see it. It looks like it might change direction, but it could just be an optical illusion because that was nothing but net, and it's an incredible angle of it would be a miserable shot if he hit it off the backboard. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It goes in. It's part of the 3 big plays that Bridges has in the overtime that helps them win this game. But that puts them up 6 in overtime. Let's hear how it plays out from there.
Brunson will make a move. On the fly, another mission. By Towns. Towns tips it in. Karl Anthony Towns with 14 points.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest play for Towns in this game. He made a good defensive stop earlier. He gets the foul, which is it works out perfectly with about 4 seconds left at the end of. Yeah, we'll play the foul as well. Yeah, why not? Yeah, play the foul, and then we can take it.
Boston down by 3.
Not going to take a foul.
Here comes Tatum. Tatum will dance and feed. Ball deflected. Picked up Brown. Brown, a 3.
Oh, yeah.
Fouls
no.
Fired.
That's a bad foul there. He was in possession of a 3. Oh, no shot.
Yeah, thank God. That would have been a disaster. You know how many calls this whole show would have been Karl Anthony Towns and that foul had they have gotten 3 foul shots and won the game or tied it up there and who knows, double overtime or whatever. But those 2 moments for Karl Anthony Towns, who again, he was awful in this game. He was bad in this game. He got into foul trouble. He had a bad offensive foul. He couldn't get to the rim. He wasn't finishing strong around the basket, but I will say this: he didn't disappear. I made the joke on Twitter: "Hey, we can't claim that Towns disappeared because I'm watching him blow the game right now." But like, to be fair to him, at least he didn't run from the moment he called for the ball when Brunson's on the bench. He's trying to run the offense through him. He took shots. He wasn't afraid. He was backing people up when he had the size advantage. He was trying to get to the rim. He just couldn't finish around the rim. He was terrible. But that tip in and then that foul and the defensive play earlier in the game, I mean, he did have winning plays in this game. He did have winning plays. He contributed to the success of this game and the win in this game. And then let's get to the final play of the game, the incredible defensive stop by Mikal Bridges.
Mitchell Robinson will be on the ball. White will inbound. It's off to Brown. Bridges there. They hold it. They trample. It's over. The Knicks have won. What a comeback and a game one win for New York.
I mean, you couldn't have played it any better. Now, he got lucky because the pass was far to Brown's right, and he had to reach for it, which gave him time as Brown had to bring it back to his body to grab it. If that would have been directly over Bridges' head, because Bridges wasn't looking, if that would have been a better pass directly over Bridges' head, it might have been an easier possession for the Celtics. But ultimately, I thought Bridges played it perfectly. It's a huge play, one of three enormous plays that Bridges makes in overtime. And, I mean, it's 51 minutes along with it. He couldn't shoot. He hits the one big three when he needs it in overtime. But still, three of 13 from the floor. He had a miserable offensive night, but his defensive intensity has really picked up. Really picked up. And the Knicks, you know, I want to give Tibbs a lot of credit, too, because I've been on Tibbs. And Tibbs did and changed things up, right? On the pick and rolls, on the picks, he's switching more. When they played the Celtics during the regular season, they didn't switch. They tried to fight through. They didn't want to get, you know, Tatum on Brunson, which we saw at times, and still they don't want to go to it. They got Tatum on Brunson, and he's pulling up for shots 3 feet behind the line instead of trying to take him to the basket. We know that Brunson's not the best defender. And his side, we saw like one or two plays where Brown had him down low and they just threw it down low and Brown got an easy layup. But they didn't try and take advantage of the switches. Like, I think that's going to be an interesting strategy as we look to game two, because they were switching a lot more than they were in the regular season. In the regular season, they were asking to fight through the screens and we weren't seeing it, and it was leading to a lot more open looks. Now, they took 63s and some of them were open, but it wasn't nearly as many open good looks. The Knicks were doing a much better job, and the switching was really helping. And the Celtics weren't taking advantage of any mismatches they got off the switches. So we'll see how that game plan and how, you know, the Celtics adjust to that. But it helped in this game. And Bridges defensively, I mean, so much better than what we've seen. He has, against the Pistons too, he has completely upped his defensive game. Without question. And right now, with the way OG is playing, they have two elite perimeter defenders. Two elite perimeter defenders. They've got Hart, who can, you know, get tough rebounds and create, you know, and can be good defensively. And then they've got two weak defensive players in Cat and Brunson. But they have two elite perimeter defenders. And it really showed up in this game. Really showed up. And for Bridges to play 51 minutes, and they were talking about the Iron Man, hadn't missed a game since high school, all of that. You know, a caller previous talked about giving him the 10 seconds on the court or whatever it was to prolong that streak late in the season. Like, it means something to him. He takes pride in it. And I even applaud him for making statements earlier in the season about, hey, you know, I don't have to play this much. But 51 minutes in this game, and the impact he had without being able to score tells me a lot about him. And I have to admit, I'm not complaining about picks tonight. I'm not complaining about that trade tonight. He was a major contributor into one of the best Knick wins, and arguably the best Knick win in 25 years. 888-808-1019. Those were the sights and sounds of the game. Let's take your calls on it now. 888-808-1019. Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
25 years, and we were waiting on this for 25 years. Mm-hmm. This was electric, and to beat them up there, that's even more astounding to do it in overtime up there. Because I remember back in the day, even when Willis and Clyde were playing, it was so hard to beat them up there.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you go to Patrick and them, and they finally won something up there in 1990, and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. But this, oh, yes, just to hear the crowd lose all the air out of the crowd, right? And And Reggie Miller, you're right about Reggie Miller. It's nice to hear his voice describing.
It's just, I mean, again, I don't think he's that good, but there's something about just his name and his voice that instantly.
His name associated with the Knicks.
They just it takes me back to those moments when I was, you know, a kid.
99 with LJ's 4-point play.
Mm-hmm.
And that.
This is the biggest win since that game. Like you could argue that's the biggest win since that game.
It is. This has to be. Not even close. Nothing comes close. And I remember Larry Johnson when they set that play up, and then it went in, and the roof almost came off of the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no.
Oh, my God.
And listen, I'm telling you right now, that's enough. Even if they get blown out in game two, it won't matter. Madison Square Garden is going to get nuts. For game number three. Like, it should be. The idea that they took a game, and if they're up 2-0, forget it. But just taking this one game.
If they get up 2-0, it's going to be difficult even for the champs to come back.
Well, we'll see. But let's just. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. No.
And then last night, one more thing.
Yeah.
We have to give Mr. Radon credit. And then to lose that game.
Oh.
What? No,
it's an incredibly frustrating loss.
It is.
Yeah, it is. And Stu, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Have a good night, man. Yeah. To me, it's the worst loss of the year for the New York Yankees. And I know they blew a 4-run lead against a division rival in Tampa Bay, and this is a, you know, West Coast National League team. You can't be less important of a regular season game. I get that. But when they blew that game, when Williams gave up that 4-run inning and they lost to Tampa Bay in extras, they were riding a 5-game winning streak. They ended up winning the next night, and they took 3 of 4 from that series. Like that, right now, the Yankees are scuffling. The Yankees are not getting good starts outside of Rodon and Fried. They've lost the last 2 series to lousy teams at the bottom of their division. They're just they're not playing well. And to have Rodon do it again, who is now pitching to a sub-1 ERA over his last 4 starts, and to be cruising, even after, like, he's playing a tough team that has a good top of the lineup and a good offense overall. They're 11 games over 500. He's dealing with the weather. He's dealing with a rain delay. And yet he just breezes through 6 1/3 or 6 2/3. He has been utterly brilliant. And I was going to, you know, it wasn't the night for it tonight. Maybe I get into it tomorrow because the Knicks are the story, and we're going to do mostly Knicks here. It's still a May 5th baseball game. As frustrating as it is and as pissed off as I am and as angry at Devin Williams as I am, and as much as I'd love to, you know, fight with all the Aaron Boone haters, it's about the Knicks tonight. But I got to tell you, like, I am, that is, considering it's Rodon right now, the way he's pitching, considering him and Max Fried are the only 2 starting pitchers you could trust at the moment, you can't lose one of their games. You can't. You can't get a gem from one of them and lose it. You just can't. Not when you have Cookie Carrasco and Will Warren in the rotation and a off-injured Clark Schmidt, who I don't even know what you're going to get later tonight from him. That's a game you can't lose right now. So to me, that's the worst loss of the season for the New York Yankees. It ruins another great start for Carlos Rodon. I wanted to be able to give him his flowers and really talk about how great Rodon has been for this team. And instead, it's about Williams, and it's about whether or not the manager should have went to him. I have no problem with it. You could have Cruz throws 2 pitches in that 7th to get out of that inning on a wild pitch. The runner coming home from 3rd is out at the plate. You could have absolutely stuck with him. He threw 2 pitches. He's thrown a lot, right? He threw 2 innings the other night. Even that's not the real issue. The issue is you're set up for, you're trying to get Williams going. He had 3 consecutive scoreless innings. You're trying to get him back feeling himself. He's got a 3-run lead against the bottom of the lineup. You're set up. There's a formula. You have him for the 8th. You have Weaver for the 9th. You could have absolutely brought back Cruz. I get it. But I don't have a problem with going to him in the 8th inning with a 3-run lead against the bottom of the order. And then he goes to Weaver, the closer, before the inning is blown. All Weaver has to do is get 1 out between 2 hitters. And they have the lead. Weaver was terrible in the game as well. It's not about the manager every time they lose. It's just not. Weaver sucked in this game again. Williams. You cannot walk Ward, the eight hitter. You can't walk him. That's the problem. Then he gets a bloop hit off a base off a broken bat, and then he walks after a big strikeout of Tatis. He has another walk to load the bases. You've got to be more consistent, but they're trying to get him going. You can't just forget about Devin Williams. I know we'd all like to. Many of you probably said the same thing about Clay Holmes last year. Once he was removed from the closer role, forget about him. I don't want him on the playoff roster. I can't tell you how many calls I took. Don't even put him on the playoff roster. You can't pitch him in big moments. And then he goes out and throws 9 consecutive scoreless innings in the postseason. You've got to get Devin Williams right. Pitching him in games like this is part of it. It wasn't a 1-run game in the 9th. It was a 3-run game against the bottom of the order, and he struck out the first hitter. Devin Williams and Weaver have to be better. That loss pissed me off, and it kind of, until I started talking about the Knicks again in the show, I was kind of had my mood dampened. But we're going to focus mainly on the Knicks because that's the story. But yes, in my estimation, that was the worst loss of the Yankee season so far. They're still in first place. It's still May 5th. But it pissed me off and annoyed me. But I'm more happy about the Knicks. Isn't that right, Dominic? What's going on, pal?
Yeah, that was a pretty good rant. You know, Towns, obviously, very talented but very frustrating player. You want him to succeed, and it seems like he gets in his own way. But tonight, while some of the fouls were certainly on him,
yeah,
it seems in space on him at various points of time, and he just can't do that. And was that more a failing of the Knicks' defense strategy, or was it Boston just taking advantage of mismatches?
Yeah, okay. One more time, because you kind of broke up. What's your problem? He was doing what on the perimeter? Is that what you said? I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, they had. He ended up guarding Tatum in space, which he can't do.
Right,
and that's how he incurred some of those fouls.
That's what we talked about. I just kind of talked about it before the Yankee rant. There, they were the if you watch the early if you watch the regular season games against the Celtics on the picks they on the screens they weren't they were trying to fight through. They weren't switching. So they were fighting through the screens to try and keep the defender they wanted on Tatum. So, like, you know, let's say OG Anunoby's on Tatum. They have the center come up, set the screen, and instead of switching and putting Karl Anthony Towns on Tatum off the screen, they would fight OG through and try and guard Tatum. But it was leading to open threes because it takes time to fight through the screen. So in this game, they adjusted, and they allowed this, and they switched, and you could create mismatches like Tatum on Karl Anthony Towns. So unfortunately, that's part of it, but I thought he did the best he could. It did get him into some foul trouble, but ultimately it paid dividends because it helps create less of the space for open threes. It might create mismatches, but for whatever reason, it didn't feel like they were taking advantage of those. They weren't trying to beat Karl Anthony Towns off the dribble. They're still looking for threes.
So what you're saying is, yes, he got into foul trouble, but ultimately it reduced their
Again, but some of there was an offensive foul, and the fouls were also down low a little
bit. Yeah,
right.
Like, I mean, that's why I say he's frustrated. You wish.
Yeah, I don't think the fouls were because he ended up on Tatum in space. Like, he got beat partly that. Like, but I don't remember. I'd have to go back and watch the game. I know for a fact one of the three that put him on the bench for a while in the third quarter was an offensive foul. And I remember most of them on layups under the basket. It wasn't that he was getting beat off the dribble necessarily. Maybe I'm wrong. But there was definitely times where he's on a guard, whether it's Brown or whether it's Tatum, because of the switch, which they were implementing more than they did in the regular season. But it's going to create mismatches, but it's also going to create less open threes. And if Boston's going to play this way, I feel you have to do it. If they're going to still look for threes, you got to give the switch and make it easier to defend the three. And they played much better defense against it than they did in the regular season. So now make the Celtics adjust and see if the Celtics take advantage. We'll see. How much Mitchell Robinson plays is going to be a talking point here, because the Hakimich is legit. And it was the beginning of the end of that first half where they really went on the run. The offense got stagnant as they were fouling Mitchell Robinson, and he was missing every stinking foul shot. And even, you know, campaign misses too, which bothers the hell out of me. If you're Cameron Payne and you are a role player on a Thibodeau team and a bench player on a Tom Thibodeau team and you know your minutes are limited, you better make your freaking foul shots. I'll just tell you that right now. That for whatever, it's one thing. I'm pissed off that Mitchell Robinson isn't better of a foul shooter. But, like, when Cameron Payne misses two, now I'm annoyed. Like, you can't, you're Cameron Payne. You have to make your foul shots. But Josh Hart, 3 of 6 from the line. That's unacceptable from him, too. Brunson, 6 of 7. It's not killer. It's, I like him to make all of them, but 6 of 7 isn't terrible. Towns, 2 of 2. OG Anunoby, 3 of 4. Again, you know, should be able to make 4 foul shots, but it's 3 for 10 from Mitchell Robinson. It's 3 of 6 from Josh Hart, and it's 0 for 2 from Cameron Payne. They've got to listen, and again, you need to make your foul shots. And it's amazing to me when you look at certain, you know, telltale stats that the Knicks were still able to win this game. Because to me, I thought Karl-Anthony Towns as a secondary scoring option was going to be enormous. He scores 14 points and is in foul trouble for a lot of the second half, and yet they still win. They got out-rebounded overall, 59-49 and still won. And they got out-offensive rebound, and pretty much forget the disparity, just 19 offensive rebounds for the Boston Celtics, which led to, like, you can't give on most nights, you can't give the Celtics an opportunity to take 2 threes of possession. Like, you got to limit offensive rebounds. So 19 offensive rebounds from the Boston Celtics are way too much, and they still won. So Karl-Anthony Towns wasn't an impact offensively. They still able to win. They got out-rebounded, including giving up 19 offensive rebounds and still won. And they shot 54% from the foul line and still won. Those are things that any one of them, if you would have told me any one of those things happened, I would have had a problem with their chances. I wouldn't have been very confident in the game, let alone all of them. If you would have told me they gave up 19 offensive rebounds, I would have been like, that is a bad number. That scares me. That's too many second chance opportunities. If you would have told me Karl-Anthony Towns scores 14 points, I would have told you that's a problem. And if you would have told me they shot 50% from the foul line, I would have told you that's a major problem. And yet with all that, and being down 20 points in the first half, they're still able to win. And that's an argument I'm sure the Celtics are going to make and the Knick haters are going to make. Hey, you still were terrible from the foul line. Karl-Anthony Towns is still a major issue. And you were out-rebounded in the paint. And they missed a record 45 three-pointers. One more of those go down, the Knicks lose. If they miss 44 threes, the Knicks lose. So it's like, it's just, it's a great win. It's a huge statement. I'm going to hang on to it for all it's worth. I think we feel a hell of a lot better about this team than we did before the game was played, but make no mistake, the defending champs aren't going anywhere, and this is going to be a hard series for the Knicks to win. And Game 2 Wednesday night is going to be a very difficult game for the Knicks to win. And honestly, they're going to have to play better than they did last year.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
That's nice.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
All right, 343, McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Tuesday morning, 888-808-1019. Obviously, heavy Knicks was one of the best wins the Knicks have had in 25 years. The best win the Knicks have had in 25 years as they took down the Celtics in overtime, 108-105. But there was baseball played. The Mets take the first game of the Diamondback series 5-4. You get a big home run from Pete Alonso. You get another home run from Lindor. And they hold on another big star from Griffin Canning, who is just, he is now, he has a 2.5 ERA. I mean, that is, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. It's amazing that you continue, the Mets continue to get these starts day in and day out. David Stearns is brilliant. David Stearns is brilliant. I can't argue. I questioned it, and we'll see. I mean, I guess, you know, they have to finish this way too, obviously, but I'm done questioning it. Until we see otherwise, I can't question it, what they're doing right now. Although they did make it close. Nunez comes back after last year's injury, first game of the season. They've lost, now Mentor to a season-ending surgery. They obviously also lose Danny Young, the left-handed pitcher. He's gone for the year. They bring up Nunez. He faces, I believe he only faced 3 batters. I was in the car. I know he walked 3. Was it only the 3? Yeah. So he walks all 3 batters he faces. Reed Garrett comes in. Not perfect. Gives up a long ball off the wall. He gives up a base hit to Naylor. And then Suarez hits a long fly ball to center field that's off the wall, just under that, you know, line in deep center out in Arizona. And Naylor had some just atrocious base running. It ends up being just a single. The game is now 5-4, but they get through it. Diaz allows the first runner on with a base hit. And I'm on the radio here. A throwing error by Pete, which is as brilliant as Alonso's been defensively. He really does struggle with throwing to the pitcher. I don't know why. It hasn't been awful, but it pops up now and again. And I guess it wasn't a perfect throw. Thomas, the outfielder for the Diamondbacks, is able to reach first, but he's promptly thrown out by Alvarez. And the Mets catchers, they do a tremendous job with base running. They do a tremendous job, both catchers, really. Do an incredible job throwing base runners out. He throws him out, and Edwin Diaz holds on to get through the ninth. They get a win, and the Yankees get the worst loss of the year. Now, when you consider, and the rain delay and the weather and everything else, They are able to get a couple of runs. They're up 3-0. And I know the story is going to be Devin Williams, right? And it should be. And the decision to put Devin Williams in. And here's what I'll say. And I did a little rant on it before, but I'm going to tell you this. You cannot fire Devin Williams into the sun, as I see all over the place. Devin Williams, whatever he is at the moment, and again, we're coming off 3 consecutive scoreless outings after being miserable in almost every outing he was prior. He started to turn the corner. His last outing, he got 3 outs on 7 pitches, and his body language will look completely different. They're trying to work him to find himself, because make no mistake, whatever you think, right? And as much as Cousins is coming back, and I guess he threw a, today he is throwing a live batting practice to Giancarlo Stanton. Hopefully he's going to be back somewhat soon and start a throwing program. You're going to have, obviously, Jonathan Loaiza is going to come back. They're going to get more arms into this bullpen. Cruz has been really good. Ian Hamilton has been pretty good. Obviously, Weaver has been very good. The idea that you don't need Devin Williams, who up until this year has been one of the best relievers in baseball, the idea the Yankees won't need him is silly. They have to figure him out. Part of figuring him out is working him in games like this. The 3 previous outings he's pitched, they've been close games. They've been one-run games. It's funny. Nobody complains about putting him in the game when he gets the outs. I haven't heard a lot of how the hell is Devin Williams in this game, Boone's an idiot, when he got all 3 outs against Baltimore, against the Rays. No one seems to have any complaints. They put him in a game with a 3-run lead against the bottom of the order with Weaver ready to go to take over before he actually blows it. That is the situations you want to start putting Williams in. I know how important the game was. I know Cruz throws 2 pitches. You could absolutely bring back Cruz out for the 8th. He leads all of relief pitchers in baseball with strikeouts. He's been utterly brilliant. I want to secure the victory. I would have had no problem with Boone bringing out Cruz. You could say he should have. We could argue that left and right. Fine, he should have. I'll give it to you. He should have brought out Cruz. Fine. Devin Williams has got to get the outs. They still need to pitch him. They're still trying to figure him out. It's May 5th. I want the victory too. But figuring out Devin Williams is as important as anything else. They've got to get him right. And you can't just pitch him in no man's land. And you can't go 4 days without throwing him. They were set up for the 8th and 9th perfectly for Williams and Weaver. It didn't work out. And it pisses me off. And I'm frustrated at the loss. And I'm frustrated at how they're playing. And I'm frustrated at the bottom of the lineup. That's another storyline we didn't really get a chance to get into the other day. Right now, this Yankee lineup at the bottom of the order, you've got the, and we're rapidly approaching needing DJ LeMahieu. I mean, they don't have anybody at the bottom of the order who can hit right-handed. Oswaldo Cabrera stinks right-handed. Reyes, just who has hit lefties in his career, stinks this year. He's been brutally bad. Peraza stinks offensively. He's been brutally bad. Escara, the backup catcher, is left-handed, who doesn't hit left-handed pitching like there is. And then, of course, Jason Dominguez doesn't hit very well against left-handed pitching. He's brutal. And that leads to another thing. Everyone is so hung up on the amount of games that the Martian has played, as Dominguez has had some bench games over the last handful of weeks. Grisham hits his 9th home run of the season in this game. Grisham has been one of their best offensive players. He has thrusted himself into playing every day. That's how good he's been. And as bad as you might think Bellinger has played, Bellinger is a proven Major League Baseball player that they are paying $25 million to, who they need to get going. And who, by the way, if you saw the first inning, makes a sliding catch that there is no way in hell Jason Dominguez makes. He has been below average in left field, to put it mildly, and doesn't come in or go out on the ball very well. So they're playing their best defensive lineup, and they're playing Bellinger, who they need to get going, who has a proven track record of being a very good baseball player. Dominguez is 21 years old. They have him for the next 6 years. They're working him in, slowly developing him. This is a young kid who, because of COVID, missed an entire year of development, and because of injuries, Tommy John and a strained side over the last year, hasn't had a lot of at-bats. And I know he needs a lot of at-bats, and he'll get them, but it takes time. And right now, because of Grisham, they've had to play Grisham, because I think we would all agree you need Grisham in the lineup. So right now, you look at this team, it's incomplete. It's incomplete. And hopefully Clark Schmidt is now a big start for him today, because they need that starting rotation to be much better. There's really no answers there. That's where they're going to have to attack the trade deadline and get some starting rotation. But you're going to have Stanton coming back, who's taking live batting practice, is going to set up a rehab assignment. You've got DJ LeMahieu coming back. Hopefully you got Luis Gil coming back to the rotation. Like, this team, Reyes is not going to have major at-bats down the stretch of this season. Peraza is not going to have major at-bats down the stretch of this season. Vivas is not going to have major at-bats down the stretch of this season. They are an incomplete team who is now in a funk. And their bullpen has been, like, excellent outside of one guy here or there that seems to blow the game, or an error here or there late defensively. As good as they've been to start the year, the last 2 weeks has been ugly defensively. And as much as I'll tell you that the young shortstop has been, you know, Volpe's been great defensively, he has a tendency of making big errors at bad opportunities. But this Yankee team right now is not playing well. They're struggling to score runs. They're struggling to pitch. The rotation stinks outside of Rodon and Fried. And that's why last night sucked so much for me, because it ruined Rodon's start. And Rodon is right now one of two guys they can rely on. And if you're going to win series, this was the series you could win, because you have both Fried and Rodon pitching in this series. And now they've blown that opportunity, and they're going to need a big time start from Clark Schmidt going up against Michael King and one of the better teams in baseball in the Padres. That was a frustrating loss. And now, look, I don't know. I still think you have to pitch Williams in situations similar to this. I don't think you just relegate him to nothing. I don't think, and the Yankees aren't playing, like, you can't just, they're playing tight ball games. You can't just relegate him to not pitching unless it's a six-run lead or a six-run deficit. Like, that can't be it. They have to get him right. You have to give him a little bit of pressure. And in the eighth inning, against the bottom of the lineup with a 3-run lead, that's about it. This is not a 1-run game. This is a 3-run lead against 7, 8, 9. Don't walk the 8-hitter. Devin Williams has got to figure it out, and the Yankees are right to continue to help him figure it out. He's an important part to this team. Whatever we think about him, you can't just not pitch him. I'm sorry. I know a lot of Yankee fans want that. I'm reading it on Twitter. Just forget him. The front office needs to send down an edict that you just can't pitch him. That's ridiculous. You can't just eliminate Devin Williams, as bad as he's been. Because, again, I'll show you last year, we said the same thing, about Clay Holmes. Said the same thing. I don't want him. I don't want him on the playoff rotate. I don't want him in the playoff roster. I don't want him pitching anywhere near leads. And he continued to blow games. If you remember, they took him out of the closer role, still put him in key situations, and he blew some games. And he gave up some runs. But they kept pitching him, showing faith in him, and then he rewarded them in the postseason. Devin Williams will turn this around. I still believe that. I think his body language was better in this game. His stuff was better in this game. But he can't walk the 8-hitter. He can't walk the 8-hitter. And again, Devin Williams blew the game. But right now, the Yankees are 19-16. And here's the major overlying thing that's going to get me called a shill. Whatever you want. They're in first place in a lousy American League. They're still better, in my estimation, than every other American League team. And they're incomplete. They've got guys coming back. There's a deadline. The idea, like, I have this guy on Twitter who's keep hitting me up. Every day, every loss, do you think this is a championship-caliber team? Do you think this is a championship-caliber team? And I keep responding in the same way. It's a silly question to ask me on May 4th and May 5th. It's a silly question. We don't know what this team is going to look like when they're competing for a championship. But I will tell you this. They will be. They are going to the playoffs, and they will be. And it's going to come down to what it always comes down to with the Yankees, how they play in the postseason. Plain and simple.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.